The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Thanks once again to Marie, Leonard and Seamus for their contribution over the last hour and all of you messaging in. A caller says, government departments of efficiency should not be run by a government body, but someone who knows how to save money, like a housewife. Now, I'm not sure if that's coming from a housewife or someone who works in the home, but you know what? There's something to it, isn't there? Seven more driving tests cancelled this morning due to unforeseen circumstances. I presume that's in the Letterkenny area. That's an absolute stinker of a weekend for people. I don't know what's going on and why they can't send cover up for the driving testers here, but seven more people disappointed to learn that their driving tests are being cancelled this morning. Hi, Greg. I hope to God this government is wiped out. This government did nothing for the people of Donegal, believes a listener. Greg, it's all about greed in this country. It's all about a plantation of our culture. Yeah, I don't explain that to me more. I like, what do you think is happening, or why do you think it's happening? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you either start having lots of babies, folks, or we are going to need lots of people, because we are an aging population. We aren't producing children. We're not producing children to the point whereby the population is replaced. So lots of us, thankfully, are going to be living older. We're going to require more care. Lots and lots of us living older, by the way. And the young people aren't here to A, I suppose, support us in providing care. B, support us in actually funding that care. So what's the solution to that? You know, you can't sort of take one issue in isolation and not look at the implications all over the place. Charlie says, ask the people with Micah if it's a great county or great country. Charlie, you know, like when any of us are in crisis, we look for the positives in life, because you have to get a respite from it. You can't constantly live. You have to try and find some light in all of that darkness. And I speak to lots of people affected by defective concrete blocks. And as impossible as it is, they do try and find some light in all of that shade. And often that's through the community. It's through friends and family and supports. It could be getting out of that house and going for a walk on a beach or something to try and switch off for 5 minutes. And that's where, you know, that's sort of the positivity that I was talking of. Greg, the reason local Irish people cannot get accommodation is because of Ukrainians. As if one rents their house out to them, it's tax-free. If they rent to a local family, they have to pay tax. So that's the €800 per month. So that goes straight into the landlord's pockets. And that's their take home, in effect. Whereby if you rent out a house to someone for €1,070, which is the average, there's obviously tax and other implications of that. That's the point that they're making. Indisputable, it is the way it is. A caller believes we need a person like Donald Trump in this country to cut the ridiculous expenditures of government. Adding 12 new TDs to an already swamped government is one example they give. Do we need as many TDs as we do? One a county, would that not do us? What do you think? Too many TDs? I don't know. We have this system whereby you need one TD for, 45, 50,000 people? That ratio is not met anywhere, like in the likes of Britain, for an example. A caller says terms of office for TD should be the same as presidents, only allowed to serve two terms, and that would cut out the cosy cartels they have going on. Is there a strong argument for that? Is that a vote winner? If you say, because it'd be turkeys voting for Christmas, wouldn't it, if TDs sort of proposed this? But what would you think? Do you think two terms and you're out? Would that be a good idea? It's funny, though. Donald Trump is trying to sort of get rid of that system. 4 or 5 years is a long time to select to replace politicians that are not doing what they would do, Greg. Indeed, but 4 or 5 years is not an awful lot of time. Sometimes I wonder if we're hampered by the election cycle in that, you know, really when we're talking about fixing housing, it's a 10-year plan. We need a 15-year plan. If we're talking about mental health services or the health services in general, you know, you can't do it in 5 years, but a government's only elected for 5 years. But I suppose the job then is for them to demonstrate at the end of the term that they have, you know, laid out what they said they were going to do. It's complicated. I'm travelling to work at the moment. I'm car number 11 behind an agricultural vehicle. Is there a law that if there are a certain number of cars behind a tractor that they must pull in? There are 15 more cars behind me. We're all going to be late for work and we can't overtake. Unfortunately, what happens there, though, is someone gets frustrated and attempts to overtake. And then next thing you know, it's on the news as a road traffic collision. I'm not sure. I don't think there's an obligation, is there? Let me know. People out there might know better than I. But, you know, I think it would be responsible of the slower vehicle to pull over. So a coalition of medical professionals and community leaders is asking general election candidates to sign up to a five-point pledge committing to real improvements in local healthcare services. Dr. Arnie Keating's a consultant in emergency medicine at Letterkenny University Hospital and joins us from the hospital. So we'll have Dr. Arnie providing she isn't called into action. Good morning to you, Doctor. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I am very good. And if at any point you do have to leave, please, just feel free to do so. There's a five-point plan, fair funding. Is this down to, you know, the spend on the hospital per sort of patient, that we are lagging behind other areas if you count how much money is put into the hospital and divided by the amount of patients that we see?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And it's one of the key issues that we face here in the Northwest. What we are looking for from our politicians is equitable healthcare funding for our patients in Donegal and in the Northwest. When you look at the budget and you look at what patients get per inpatient here and you compare it on a national scale, we fall way behind, over 50% nearly, in fact. So if a patient in Donegal is getting around an average 6,900 per inpatient stay, those in Tullamore are getting nearly 11,000 euro, and that makes a huge difference.
What difference does it make on you?
It has lots of different tangible effects. So in terms of recruitment of staff, in terms of the resources we have available here, and trying to enact those. So what we're looking at is trying to get the politicians to deliver on these, what we think are the key points and key areas in the hospital that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're tired of trying to get it through other avenues and we've tried our best, but we know the best way to leverage is to go through our politicians. And what better time now than we have an election looming to try and get our politicians to commit to this change.
For sure.
And
we also have to commit to honesty, because what we've seen is figures being played with. Letterkenny University Hospital gets equal funding to a similar sized hospital, but they neglect to talk about how many patients Letterkenny sees versus that other hospital. So we're not silly anymore. We don't want them playing with figures, right? So in terms of implementing Model 3 recommendations, a lot of these are sort of intertwined, I'd imagine, with budgeting, but it also is about, you know, commitment as well, infrastructurally. So what does that mean, number two?
So, yes, so the Model 3 recommendations is being kind of spearheaded by Mr. Sugar here at the hospital. And he's looking at four different areas to try and improve the kind of services in the hospital. That's looking at workforce planning and looking at the recommendations for how many doctors and different staff members we should have per patient. Also looking at kind of education, infrastructure of the hospital, and improving the links we have with other Model 4 hospitals around the country. So if we can't provide the service here, how we link up with other hospitals at a national level and to try and improve that and make it more streamlined.
Can I jump to number four before going back to number three? Modernising the ICU, because, do you know, even if people get, and they mostly get good care, don't get me wrong, the thing is the problem is with the ICU. And I know, unfortunately, a number of people that never see ICU because they've been there once and they simply don't want to go back again. And that genuinely breaks my heart.
Yes. So the ICU facility at Letterkenny is outdated, and it has been recommended on repeated occasions that it needs to be updated and we need to increase the bed numbers in it as well. We're a very busy emergency department, we're a very busy hospital, and we have a high turnover of patients, and a lot of patients, some of those patients do require intensive care and in that level of care. However, at the minute, although the promise has been there, they've never been enacted upon. So we're looking at real, this time, going to the politicians to demand that the service is delivered and this changes, this ICU is modernised.
I presume a surgical hub for Donegal and a minor injuries unit would take some of the workload that doesn't need to be in that acute hospital setting. Would that be the purpose of suggestion three and five?
Exactly. If we could get a surgical hub for Donegal, we could do some of our elective surgeries outside the acute hospital and then reduce the need. I'm sure a lot of people in the community have faced cancellations of their procedures due to the fact that there's no bed available due to the pressures in the emergency department. So if we could get a surgical hub that ran independently, adjacent to the hospital, that ran it independently of the acute hospital, that this would reduce the kind of cancellation lists and increase the productivity as well. So this would be a fantastic win-win for patients.
And pardon my ignorance, Anya, does that mean moving facilities and staff off-site, or is this a completely new investment?
It's actually just about really a physical building. Mm. We have the staff here available, and currently, because of bed pressures and because there's always a kind of onus in trying to get the patients who are being overcrowding the emergency department out onto the ward, their patients are facing cancellations on their procedures because they don't have a bed to go to afterwards, or they use the day case unit for bedding and for trying to ensure all the patients that are admitted into the hospital get a bed. So this does have a huge impact on the ability for the hospital to deliver elective care. So rather than doing elective within the acute hospital, what you're doing is co-locating it and making sure that these sort of services ring fence that you cannot access at the acute hospital doesn't interfere with it, so to speak, so that you can just run the service smoothly without interference from bed pressures.
Anya, I'm old enough to have got stitches at the community hospital in Donegal Town, or to have my ankle looked at and given a recommendation, right? So that's going back quite some time now. Would that be the function of a minor injuries unit? I have sat for 9 hours with twisted ankles, kids with twisted ankles, and other silly stuff that I felt guilty really for tying up a seat and resources. How impactful do you think a minor injuries unit might be in that regard?
Yes, a minor injuries unit is a function to see minor injuries, usually operational, you know, for 12 hours a day, 8 to 8. 7 days a week, and that would try to offload the overcrowding in the emergency department so we could we can treat and manage major emergencies within the emergency department and then focus on minor injuries in a separate area.
What are you giving back, though? Can we sort of find a situation whereby, we have a hospital that runs, I don't know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Because that's the criticism the health minister comes back with. He says, you know, it's crazy that we've got machines and facilities that are sitting there idle when they should be used. And that's part of the problems as well.
So we do emergency department. I can speak personally. We are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if we need an emergency scan to be performed, it will be done. So I can't speak for other areas, but I definitely feel we're definitely working at most of our capacity. And what we do want to do is ensure the future of this hospital, ensure that we have the adequate resources to look after our patients in the Northwest.
All right.
So what I really ask for voters today is to ask the local candidates about where they stand in the 5-point pledge. I've had great support from most of the candidates now, and I ask for any other candidates who's going for the local elections to please get in touch and support this pledge, because this is what's really going to improve healthcare in the Northwest going forward.
Yeah, and I think you really want to see some meat on the bone too, not a promise to get over the line, but actually a commitment as to how it could be actioned upon afterwards. So we had an unprecedented situation here where we had, dozens of GPs and dozens of hospital staff signing letters and sending letters to the Minister for Health. It prompted a meeting from the Minister of Health. Is this part of that process? Did anything ever improve after that? Because we were told at that time that we were at a tipping point here, that there was a genuine risk of a collapse of services. Did anything positive come from that initiative?
I appreciate that. So I suppose when the GPs were quite concerned about the long wait times in the emergency department, and since then we have worked quite hard with, and I know that the Minister of Health did come to visit, worked quite hard to try and manage these. And, you know, the demand is going up and up and up, but we need the resources behind us to try and service those demands and those requests. So if you look at this, you can look at this in any kind of computer nationally. The HSE do a weekly report, look at our attendances, look at our conversion rates, look at our wait times. Things have made an improvement. However, there is still much more improvement. And if we can get the resources in behind us, adequate staffing, adequate funding, adequate resources for the area, it will only improve these wait times and further.
All right, last question. I mean, obviously, you're all HSC staff within the hospital. The hospital management themselves are also HSC staff. Are they signatories of this initiative?
So we have, so just to say that this has come from the consultants and community worker, community GPs in the community as well, looking at this here. We know that management do their best to try and get resources for the area, but often it's both there. It's usually decided on a national level, and that's what we want to focus on today. And with this pledge, is to look nationally to try and garner support for resources in this region, because we have, you know, we have spoken. Management are very much aware of all the issues that faces in this hospital, and are doing their utmost best to try and get those resources in. But sometimes you just need to push nationally and get it recognised at a higher level to try and make sure we're getting at least some of these services delivered.
Okay, so you want the commitment, not just a promise, the commitment from every single one of the candidates, but the public too. Often we wonder, well, what can we do? You can go to dcra.ie. Is that where the public can sign this?
Yes,
okay,
there's DCRA. A petition that the public can sign. Just to show support behind this, so that we can let our local politicians know how this, important this is for local people in the area.
Yeah, and just on that, I'm not part of the campaign, but if people care about the hospital, it takes a couple of seconds to sign that petition, because the consultants, if they go, we've got 300 people signed this from the public, if they say we got 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 that people signed it, it really starts to make a difference. So the public have a role. If you want to support consultants and you want to support the future of that hospital, dcra.ie. If you don't, you don't, and that's fine. But just to make it very clear that often we can text in a radio station before we'll sign a petition. I love the text, don't get me wrong, but the petition is really important too, I would imagine. Thanks for your time, Dr. Anya. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Anya Keaton, a consultant in emergency medicine at Letterkenny University Hospital, and our patron could have gone off at any point to call her to action. Morning, Greg. I hesitate to correct Greg. Never do. But just to clarify on his earlier point, the UK PM appoints a cabinet secretary who is also head of the civil service. They have to be an existing senior civil servant, not an outside appointment, which I suppose it is important. And I often try to avoid referencing something I half know about, right? And I did in this case, so I appreciate this clarification. But I suppose maybe they can appoint a cabinet secretary as head of the civil servant as well, who they maybe feel they can work with better, I don't know. But anyway, his Downing chief of staff, however, is a political appointment and non-civil servant. I hope that helps listeners understand on the really good and important points, Greg, and the panel made. Very much appreciated. Thank you very much for that. Right, okay. Absolutely, Greg, we need a Donald Trump desperately. Elon Musk approach here in Ireland and a major cleanup and start again from scratch. There's zero accountability and zero consequences for the criminal waste of public money and treatment of working class citizens. And on it goes. We've so much to get through. Let me first take a very quick commercial break. I'll be right back. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, the next wee while is going to have quite a strong visual element to it. Let me put it to you like that. So if you're able to, why not hop on to YouTube if you're at home on your smart telly or your Fire Stick? You can watch us there, or you can go on to Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport and Obituaries, or the X platform as well, at Highland Radio, because I can welcome onto the programme now Sean Quinn, our head of sales. Sean, anything exciting happening?
One or two things this morning, Greg. Yeah, thanks very much. It's that time of year, Greg, where it's we're going to launch our Christmas draw. And we're doing it with a little bit of a twist and difference this morning. I'm standing outside. It's like August out here. It's lovely and warm. No jacket required so far. But I'm right beside...
Well, your nipples tell a different story, Sean.
What's that?
Your nipples tell a different story.
I knew I should have worn a jacket, Greg. I knew it.
All right, you're outside in a balmy August in November. And what are you standing beside?
I'm beside a beautiful Yaris Cross HEV car, which one lucky winner is going to win in this year's Highland Radio car draw. And we're launching it today. It really is a smashing car worth over 33,000 or just under 33,000 euros. And it's got everything. You name it.
It is a beaut. Let's start with the styling. We're looking down here, the left wing. Beautiful wheel arches, lovely shape to it. And it's big and small at the same time, isn't it? Not big and small, but, you know, it's big, loads of space, but also it's not so big that you can't find a bloody parking space for it. That's what the crossover is all about, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's very well designed, you know, because you've got that little bit of height interior. The wheels are a bit higher. And yeah, it's a lovely car. I drove it yesterday. It's a lovely car to drive, you know. I suppose all new cars are great nowadays, Greg, but this, I really enjoy driving it. It's an automatic car.
Yeah.
And it's a petrol. It's got a little bit of poke. It's a 1.5, but very, very good on petrol.
A really nice curb appeal. It's got those daytime driving LEDs, which we're looking at now. Lovely set of rims. Indicators in the, I know these sounds like silly things, right? But the things I look out for, indicators in the wing mirrors, beautiful front. And I think a lot of cars don't get the back right, but this car has got a beautiful back on it, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. No, it's very well designed, I have to say. Very streamlined and very comfortable, and holds the road extremely well.
All right, we're looking in the boot now too, because boot space is critical, I suppose, when you're looking for a new car. And the Yaris has a very generous boot in it. We can see that now, the Yaris Cross. It's absolutely... you could fit your golf clubs in it.
Well, I did try that now.
Well, you should have tried that with the other car that you bought. That would have been a good good idea, wouldn't it? But you tried it with the Yaris. They fitted in no problem.
The driver comes out the bag, but the full bag goes in there. So, and even if you're going on holidays, now I like to take plenty of clothes with me on holidays. So two suitcases in there, no problem whatsoever.
Looking at the inside now, it's got a beautiful big display, as you would expect. It's got the Apple Play connectivity. It has got the Android Play connectivity. It's got a digital dash too, which I love. The physical instruments have given way to this beautiful screen with all the information that you have on it. And I also note, beautiful, luxurious interior, but lots of space in the back as well, which again talks to this design of a car whereby you've sort of got the SUV comforts, don't you? But in a car that's just a little bit less cumbersome.
Absolutely. And as you're touching it yourself now, the 9-inch screen is fabulous. Has all the technology that you need. You can get your maps onto it from your phone. You connect your phone as well, so you can take calls, Bluetooth enabled. Has air conditioning on it as well, Greg. Steering wheel is a leather touch on it as well. So it really is a smashing car inside. It's well finished is probably the nicest word to put for it.
Yeah, and I like too as well the clearance between the wheels and the arches. It gives it that sort of high set, you know, high set look to it, which I like as well.
It's like a mini Jeep.
Can I buy a ticket for this?
Unfortunately, you're not allowed to.
Darn. But, right, okay.
That wouldn't look too good now on the 23rd when we go to draw it. And the winner is...
They get away with it in the credit unions. Why can't we do it? Anyway, look, it's a brand new, and I don't mean that badly, they're all members as well. I'm a member of the community. So it's a brand new Toyota Yaris Cross. It's worth over €30,000. It's in beautiful silver. And how do you enter, Sean? How do you get your tickets?
So we've made it simple. You can go online to highlandradio.com and you'll click on the link for the draw. You'll see it as soon as you go onto the main page. And you can buy a ticket for €15. Or you can buy 5 for €50. And there's a simple question to ask as well and fill in your details. You can also ring us on the station here, 07491 25000, and we'll be happy to do that for you. Or if you're in the town and you want to pop in, you can come into the reception and you can buy the tickets to reception here.
All right, so one ticket, €15, 5 for 50, which represents really good value if you're bulk buying, if you want to gift these out to people. Now, the thing too is that the earlier buy the ticket, I think the better. I'm a low numbers guy, right? I think my luck is in the lower numbers. Maybe some people are in the mids or highs. I like to get mine nice and early. But the one thing I'll say as well too, there's lots of competitions out there. If you'll indulge me a second, Sean, there's lots, and I've made this point before, but it's really important because you can look at our past winners and you'll see there's lots of competitions out there and they sell tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of tickets. And, you know, you might think you're entering locally, but you're also, there's people in Galway entering the same competition and all that kind of stuff. This is a Christmas car draw for the people that listen to us here. And invariably, the prizes go local. And the ticket sales, Sean would love them to be 100,000. They ain't that. You know, your chances are much more favourable in a competition like this because it's from us for us, Sean.
Absolutely, Greg. And what we've done is we've always added a little bit extra into the draws as well. And we will do that. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen this year, but there's a little bit of a surprise element. So you're right. It would be if I was buying a ticket, I would be buying early because there'll be a few things that will be coming in the next week or so which we will announce, and you'll be in the draw for other things that come up. We'll call it a bonus draw at the moment, and we'll say no more than that. But it's a big part of our Christmas, and I feel, you know, I'm looking back. I think this is our fifth car, because we started with a Captur, and we had a Kia Ceed. We went on to a Nissan Juke, and last year we were the Skoda, I think it was Karoq. So every year the car, it's been a brilliant car that we've delivered for that lucky person.
Yeah, and if people have one eye in the environment, as many do, a lot of people favour the hybrid because, firstly, you know, you get extra poke because of the motor assist in that regard. It self charges, so you never have to plug it in or worry about where you go. But the thing that people don't realise if you've never driven a hybrid is you don't know you're driving a hybrid. That's how it works. You don't actually know you're driving a hybrid, but you're charging your battery as you're driving or as you're going downhill. I stick on the regenerative braking in the model I have. But then the electric motor then helps the petrol motor, and that increases economy. But also, too, you're burning less fuel. So it's a good middle ground for people at this stage to sort of have... That driving experience, but also to give the environment a little bit of a break.
Yeah, and the fuel efficiency and what comes with that as well, Greg, is so much better.
Right.
So, but I think the person that wins it's just going to be so delighted to get that prize on the 23rd of December. But do you know what? In fairness, Greg, you've sold the car really well.
How does it drive? I want to know how it drives.
Well, I'm just going to say, why don't you, let's do something different here. Why don't you come and join me now and I'll take you for a quick drive on the car? How does that sound?
You driving doesn't sound fantastic. The car sounds brilliant. I'll risk it. I would love to.
Well, come out.
I'm going to take a break, right? Shall I come out? We'll actually go for a spin.
Let's go for a spin. Let's try and do this live on air.
Okay, no. I know how we can do this. I know how we can stay connected and broadcast, right? Live from the car. It's a bit of a Hail Mary, but let's should we give it a go?
Let's go for it.
All right, then. Okay, we're going to take a break.
See you shortly.
All right, see you in a bit, Sean. We're going to take a break here now, right? And I'm going to attempt to broadcast live from the car if Sean keeps it between the ditches, which I'm sure he will. So stay where you are. Back in, fingers crossed, a couple of minutes, and I'll be in the car. All right, I'm going to have to bring the weather forecast to you in a second because I'm in a car here with Sean Quinn.
Well, it's kind of grey outside, but it's quite warm, Greg.
Yes, thanks for the weather update. And it's going to get cold next week. Come here. This
Welcome.
Is lovely.
Welcome to the car.
Let me see, because I forgot my sheet of paper. So this is the Yaris Cross from Toyota.
This is.
And we're off for a scotch.
Let's drive and see. It's very quiet, isn't it?
Yes. So this is the car that's up for grabs as part of the Christmas car draw. Tickets are €15 each, or you can get 5 for 50. You go onto our website, highlandradio.com, get your tickets. Sean is committing. Hey, mate. Sean's committing to add some extras on, is that right?
We may do something, Greg, yeah. Okay. So I'll say nothing about it, but it will be good.
The Toyota Yaris Cross HEV feature, firstly, you can't hear it inside. It's
extremely
dead quiet. It is dead quiet. I see there is inputs here as well for your phones, which is fantastic.
Now, I'm going to try the reverse here.
Yeah, okay, that's because you came down a little bit sealed. Do we have time for the roundabout?
Camera, look at the camera, isn't it class? Absolutely, yeah, class.
Reversing camera, good call.
Yeah.
So 1.5 hybrid, it's self-charging, so you don't have to worry about plugging it in, but you do get the benefits of electric. Multimedia 9 touchscreen, which I can't show you. It's actually a really nice one. Some of them can be maybe not quite as crystal clear as they should be. What do you think of the digital dash that you have there? There's no sort of physical... I love it, actually, to be honest.
It's very slick.
Because what you can also do is you can change it around.
You can, yeah.
You know what I mean? You can change it. It's very easy to go from miles per hour to kilometres per hour, you know, in the older cars.
Yeah,
you only had the one. Yeah.
What I love with the flag is that it's everything's in your eye line.
Yes, but not distracting either.
Exactly. Some of the cars nowadays, you're kind of looking over the steering wheel, whereas it's just well-positioned.
Lovely stuff.
Drives lovely on the road.
You can switch to, say, for instance, to in a car like this, which a lot of people maybe don't realise if you don't have them. The hybrid battery range, I'm not quite sure what it is in this car. It's normally around between 40 and 60 km. It could be a bit lower. Maybe I had a car and it was 30.
Yeah.
That's almost irrelevant. But say you're on the four lanes, or say you're driving in Dunderkenny, you can actually switch to EV mode only.
You're not allowed to sound your horn during the day. That's a violation.
That's
an instant fail if this is your test. You're not allowed to sound your horn for no reason.
That was Michael.
We'll let you away with that one. Michael let it.
Sorry, instructor.
Yes, that's fine. Right. Yeah. My point is you can switch to EV only mode.
Yeah.
So you can drive up and down Letterkenny Main Street or wherever you live and you're not doing any polluting.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, air conditioning, which is working now, it's an essential thing nowadays. I've been told that you're better to use air conditioning all the time, even to cool the car.
I always do.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I always do. I always thought it was bad for your consumption levels, but I don't see
the difference. You're opening your window, it's bad for your consumption levels.
If anybody sees us now driving here, just give us a beep.
Which is also, I don't want to be one of those sticklers. That would also be a violation of the rules of the road. Beep anyway, it's grand. Sure, there's no one listening.
Or if you're the passenger, you can wave at us. How's that? And all in all, though, Greg, we have to say it's a great prize, isn't it?
Yes, lovely.
I mean, for 15 euros, the car is just under 33,000 euros.
Yeah.
And thanks to our friends, obviously, at Kelly's Toyota in Letterkenny, because they've supplied the car for us.
Mm.
The car will come ready on the 1st of January.
It's cracking. Electric's all round too, by the way. Sometimes some cars, you wonder, do they have electric windows in the back? Yes, they do, of course. You've got your plug-in points for your child seat. And just looking at it, the child seat, you can have a child seat in here. Two adults as well too, which is another thing that people look out for. I know anyway, I look out for in a car. And he got this beautiful digital screen. I love it, actually. I really do. It's a very nice car. And you could win it. It's self-charging hybrid. Your tickets now, 1 for 15, 5 for 50. So if you want to gift them out, you can, or buy them yourself. But just make sure you can afford whatever you're spending, because that's what we want you to win a great prize and have a bit of fun. This fella thinks he owns the road.
It's okay.
And have a bit of fun with
it. We're very courteous there.
Yeah, lovely. Very, very smooth.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Are you on petrol now or EV?
I'm on petrol at the moment.
Let's switch to EV. That's the crowd.
Now
we're fully EV driving. Now this is amazing.
You actually can feel the power there.
You do, but the transition is incredibly smooth.
Yeah.
But it's the relationship between the EV engine and why is that 60 flashing?
That's because I'm doing 59 and a 60.
Yeah, it's warning you're getting close to your plumbing agent. Right, okay. So that's it. Loved it, actually. This is really unique. I don't think it's been done before either, by the way. Maybe it will never be done again.
Live on radio.
Live on radio. It's got auto hold, by the way. So if your traffic lights, you're going up a hill or whatever, the car holds it for you so you don't have to fiddle with the handbrake, which is fantastic.
It's got the lane, the lane assist mode. Do you like that?
I know you're not a massive fan, but it's optional. I do like the lane assist. Also, it has driving mode. So if you want to go eco, if you want a little bit more oomph, if you know what I mean, it's there as well. Love it.
Can I say one thing, Greg?
Yes, of course.
I think now in the next life, you would be a brilliant car salesperson.
Well, I like the car.
Yeah. I think you would be.
It's always good to have an association with a great company like Kelly's Toyota as well, because we all have to support each other. Wow, that's it. Brilliant. Okay.
So I got you back.
Got me back safe and sound.
Safe and sound. And good luck to everybody who enters.
And we came in there in EV too.
You don't know.
I know because I kind of I've driven them before, but it switches from petrol to EV. There's no jerk. I remember I had an older car and there was kind of this transition, which is not an issue.
We didn't have time to do a song.
Is your seat very low?
No. But I know where you're going.
No, I don't. I'll come down to you, will I? Because there's fully adjustable seats. They are. That feels better.
That's a good one. I'll give you that one.
I
actually put mine up the way.
Come here. Good luck to you tonight, Highlander Radio. In the Chamber Awards tonight. They're taking place at the Silver Tassie. That's another fantastic local business. Right, so Highlands in the running for one of the awards.
We are, yeah. Business excellence. So
is that just sales or am I included?
No, it's across the board.
Oh, brilliant.
For business, yeah. Right, it's okay, just in what we've done, the journey we've been on. And I suppose it's a revenue, but it's also programming. It's right across the board. So
brilliant stuff. Is that better now that we're looking into each other's eyes? When I got into the car, this seat, the passenger seat, was almost fully reclined.
Well, we did that on purpose to make sure you were happy.
All right, so that's it. That's us broadcasting live from the inside of a beautiful Toyota Yaris Cross. And it's all because it is our brilliant prize for our Christmas draw, our car Christmas draw. The tickets are live right now, 1 for 15, 5 for 50. And one of you will win this car on the 23rd of December. When will they be able to drive it then from then, did you say?
Well, it's probably the 3rd of December, because or to January.
Yeah, we want the new plates.
We'll get it new plates. Yeah. It'll be registered when the garage is back open. But we always do around the 23rd or the 24th. We'll whoever wins the car can come to Highland. They can see the car. But it's from a financial point of view, better to register.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, and also too, we don't know, we haven't announced it just yet, but as always, there's extra stuff that's thrown in over the course of, from November to December. That's not being revealed just now, but the point is whatever it is, if you get your ticket now, you're in that draw.
Watch this space, buy early, go to highlandradio.com, get your tickets, and we'll reveal more in the coming days.
1.5 petrol hybrid, self-charging, 9-inch screen, which is beautiful. So that's about just slightly smaller than that tablet you might have at home. But it's not in your face, is it?
No, it's not.
It's sitting there, but it's not in your face.
Yeah.
Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, which means as soon as you sit into the car with either of those phones, it connects your audio, but also your maps as well, which is fantastic. It, of course, has Bluetooth and aircon, which is fantastic. And I am out of here.
On that note.
Slonga foil. Right, we're going to take a break. I'll be back with a few of your comments as we head towards That's Entertainment at 11 o'clock. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, see you soon.
Good luck.
Greg, the new incoming government could save a few euros if they took a look at Donegal County Council. I've been on the road nearly every day past ongoing road works. There's always groups of men standing, talking and laughing at one another, always standing with his head down on his phone. Look, there's different things council workers do, and they're waiting on maybe a delivery of tarmac or whatever it might be. It's not always as it appears, I think. Hi, Greg. Just in relation to the new cycle lane, I was driving out past the Toyota garage last week. Two men cycling on the road, holding back traffic and the cycle lane not being used. I was absolutely furious because that's why that road was left so narrow to facilitate cyclists. A lot of people sharing that frustration.